Cape Talk. The Africa Report with JJ Cornish.
The Africa Report with Monsieur Jean-Jacques Cornish. Bonjour, Monsieur. Comment ça va?
Bonjour, Ab. Ça va très bien, merci. Very, very good. Any better, I'd have to tell the cops.
I hear you loud and clear. Talking about cops, okay, maybe it's not about cops, but apparently Kenya will be teaching Chinese in elementary schools.
The latest African country to do this, Uganda announced that it would too, but so from 2020, Chinese will be offered along with languages like French, German, and Arabic. Of course, Chinese is probably the most spoken language on the planet. I use the word mesh-up, Mandarin, English, and then there's Spanish, Hindi, Arabic, and Portuguese. Those are the most spoken languages on the planet. Kenya says that this obviously illustrates the extent of ties, the depth of ties between China and Kenya, and that it will improve job competitiveness of these pupils who learn Mandarin, and that will facilitate better trade and connections with China. Very interesting that these two countries have done this, and I mean, the many, many South Africans learning it too. I mean, it's amazing when you walk around Durko to see South Africans who can speak Mandarin. I remember 10 years ago, there was one or two, you know, and it's amazing. I mean, if you're going to have links with a country, as China is becoming probably the most important trading partner with many African countries, how can we not speak the language? How can we allow the sort of dealings to happen with only one side, or, you know, one-sided understanding of languages? It's a remarkable and very laudable development, I think.
Jean-Jacques, there's so much I want to say on this, but yeah, we just don't have time for it. Maybe it's a discussion for another day, but let's move on to Rwanda, where apparently they've enforced a ban on skin whitening products.
You know, Paul Kagame has got involved, and he said this has to happen. This has to stop, these skin lightening products, particularly those with hydroquinone, which is very, very damaging, these skin bleaching products. And he's now deployed police to go into marketplaces, find these products, and seize them. So, you know, we do have, I mean, it's banned in many countries, including in South Africa, the use of certain products, because it's very, very damaging. And but being Rwanda, which I often refer to as the Singapore of Africa, you know, and there's a famous T-shirt you buy when you go to Singapore. Singapore is a fine country. You know, they fine you and prosecute you for all sorts of things when they don't like it. That seems to be the case too. When the president puts his mind to things in Rwanda, it happens.
As much as I want to support this idea, because I feel that someone should be comfortable in their own skin, I'm very much against taking away someone's right to do what they want to do. But nonetheless, that's also another debate for another day, Monsieur. Tunisia.
No, in this case, you know, but perhaps just to dwell on it for a second. If it's proven to be damaging,
then
I think, you know, the government has to act. Okay? There has to be that regulation.
Yeah. I suppose, you know, it is a bigger discussion than that, I have to say.
Indeed.
Moving to Tunisia, you know, Tunisia tourism, apparently its revenue has gone up by a whopping 45%.
Well, you know, I'm delighted to report this because, you know, I have a special place in my heart for Tunisia. I love that part of the world, Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, the Western Sahara, the Maghreb, which is, of course, in Arabic. Maghreb is the opposite of Mpumalanga, you know. It's the place where the sun sets. And Tunisia relies very heavily. 8% of its GDP is tourism. And then those two attacks a couple of years ago on the beach in Sousse, where 39 tourists died, at the Bardo Museum in the capital, Tunis, 31 tourists died. It was shunned. The country was shunned. I remember the times that I visited it, they used to be getting 4 million tourists a year. Well, it looks like they'll be getting 9 million arrivals in 2019. They had 8.3 million in 2018. It's $1.5 billion worth of revenue to them. So it's very, very important, and I'm very happy to see, because they work so hard at doing it. I mean, when you go to Sidi Bou Said and these countries, it's very close, of course, to Europe. So it's a little hop across, you know, on a charter plane or on a package holiday. So there certainly many Brits and Germans and French would be going to Tunisia. Now it seems they're getting the Russians. I think the Russians would be coming to Tunisia instead of Egypt. So it's very, very good news for Tunisia. One would want to see that tourism return in those sort of numbers or percentage-wise to Egypt too, of course, where the fall, the uprising of 2011 and then subsequent terrorist acts has badly hit tourism in that country.
Yeah, and, you know, as you talk about terrorists, Monsieur, in that terrorists will also be looking to this to see once again the jump is coming back up again. The question it will be then, what is Tunisia doing to ensure that those we never see what we saw in the past again when it comes to terrorism in their country? Nonetheless, though, it is wonderful news to hear. Monsieur, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. A la semaine prochaine.
A la semaine prochaine.
Thank you so much.
Bon weekend.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.